Ever notice those old vinyl records making a comeback?
Oh, yeah.
Turns out they're not just a blast from the past. They're also part of how we measure inflation these days.
Really?
Yeah, it's not just records. Of course, it's your weekly shop, that new air fryer everyone's raving about. It's like someone's keeping tabs on all our spending habits.
Yeah, it's true. The UK's inflation tracker is a bit like a massive online shopping basket, packed with over 700 items reflecting what we're all buying.
Wow, 700.
Yep, and every year they tweak it, adding things like air fryers and even removing hand sanitizer this year. I guess we're finally past that stage.
So it's like a snapshot of the average person's spending, tracking those price changes over time.
Exactly. This data crunching gives us the Consumer Price Index, or CPI for short.
CPI.
It's like a scorecard showing how much pricier that shopping basket is compared to a year ago.
And this CPI is linked to the inflation target we hear about, right?
Yeah.
But why is there even to target?
It's all about stability, really. The UK, like many countries, aims for an inflation sweet spot. Here, it's 2%. Think of it as a balancing act.
Okay, so too high and things get chaotic, too low and the economy stalls.
Right. High inflation makes prices unpredictable. Businesses struggle, and your savings lose value faster.
Makes sense.
But if it's too low or even negative, people might hold back on spending expecting further drops, and that can really hurt the economy.
So it's about finding that Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah.
But how do we actually keep inflation in check?
That's where the Bank of England steps in. They're tasked with hitting that 2% target using various tools, most notably interest rates.
Okay.
They can raise them to cool down borrowing and spending if inflation's getting too hot.
So they're like the economy's thermostat, constantly making
Yeah,
adjustments.
that's a good way to put it.
But what happens if they miss the target?
There's serious pressure to get it right if inflation strays too far, above 3% or below 1%. The Bank of England's governor has to write a letter to the chancellor, explaining why and outlining a plan to get back on track.
Oh, wow. That's real accountability. Okay, so we've got how inflation is measured and why that 2% target is so important. But what actually causes those prices to rise in the first place?
Now we're getting to the heart of it. Let's start with what we call demand pull inflation.
Demand pull. Sounds like something's being stretched too thin. Is this where that too much money chasing too few goods idea comes in?
Exactly. Imagine a surge in demand across the whole economy. Maybe post-pandemic, people are eager to spend, but supply hasn't caught up. Too much money flooding the market for too few goods. That's demand pull inflation on a macro level.
So, like when a new game console launches and everyone's scrambling to buy it, but on a much bigger scale.
A perfect example. Now flip the script. Let's say production costs suddenly spike. Think oil prices skyrocketing, a classic commodity shock. That's cost push inflation.
So, businesses are forced to raise prices because their expenses have gone up, and that gets passed on to us.
Right. And those commodity shocks can have a domino effect on the entire economy.
So, we've got these two big drivers of inflation, demand pull and cost push. And right now, it feels like we're getting hit by both. Demand is still strong, but we've also seen those crazy price spikes for things like energy.
It's a tricky combination, for sure. And that brings us to another layer of this inflation puzzle, what people think will happen to prices in the future.
Oh, right. You mentioned inflation expectations earlier. It seems strange that just believing prices will go up can actually make them go up.
It can. If businesses expect inflation to rise, they might preemptively increase prices.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I see.
And if we all think things will cost more next month, we might demand higher wages to compensate.
That makes sense. Last year, I was convinced coffee prices were about to explode. I stocked up on beans. And you know what? I probably contributed to that shortage everyone was complaining about.
You illustrate it perfectly. That's how powerful expectations can be. And when these expectations are anchored to the central bank's target, say that 2% for the UK, it actually helps to keep inflation stable.
So people aren't panicking and overreacting to every little price blip. They trust that things will eventually settle down.
Exactly. But if people lose faith in the Bank of England's ability to control inflation, those expectations can become unanchored, leading to a self-reinforcing cycle of rising prices and wages.
It's a bit like a confidence game then. If we believe the Bank of England can keep things under control, we're less likely to make those rash decisions that can actually fuel inflation.
Precisely. Managing expectations is a huge part of managing inflation itself.
Which makes me wonder, how does all this tie into the global picture? I mean, we live in a pretty interconnected world. What happens elsewhere must affect inflation here, right?
Absolutely. And that's where exchange rates come into play. Remember the shopping basket we talked about?
Yeah.
It includes imported goods, too.
Right. It's not just about what's produced here in the UK.
So when a country's inflation is higher than its trading partners, its currency tends to weaken.
So my pounds won't buy me as much in, say, the Eurozone if their inflation is lower than ours.
That's the general idea. This can make those imported goods even more expensive for us, further feeding that inflation cycle.
It's like a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
High inflation here can make imported stuff pricier, weaken our currency, and make everything coming from abroad even more expensive.
It highlights just how interwoven our economies are, and it's not just about exchange rates. Global commodity prices, like that oil shock we mentioned, can also have a ripple effect on inflation worldwide.
Wow. This is a lot more complex than just seeing prices go up at the supermarket. So we've got domestic factors like demand pull and cost push, but we also need to factor in global pressures like exchange rates and commodity prices. It's almost overwhelming.
It is a multi-layered puzzle and all those pieces interlock, but understanding these dynamics can help you make sense of those broader economic trends and even make more informed financial decisions.
You're right. I'm starting to see inflation differently now, not just as a number, but as a powerful force that shapes so many aspects of our lives.
Exactly. It's about connecting those economic dots to our daily realities.
And speaking of reality, we've talked about the mechanics of inflation. But how does it actually affect people's lives?
That's a crucial question, and it's what we'll explore next. The social impact of inflation. Stay tuned.
Okay, so we've explored the causes of inflation, those global chain reactions even, how our own expectations can play a role. But now let's talk about what it all means for us on a personal level. What's the real-world impact of inflation?
We've discussed the mechanics, the numbers, but ultimately, economics is about people, and inflation, even at seemingly small percentages, can have a big impact on our daily lives.
So when we talk about the social impact of inflation, what are we really talking about?
One of the most immediate and obvious effects is the erosion of our purchasing power. When prices rise faster than our incomes, our money simply doesn't stretch as far as it used to.
It's like watching your money shrink in value right there in your wallet.
That's a great way to put it. And this hits certain groups harder than others. Think about people on fixed incomes like retirees or those earning minimum wage. It can be a real struggle to keep up with rising costs.
Absolutely. Yeah. If your income isn't keeping pace, affording those essentials, food, rent, healthcare becomes a real challenge.
And that constant pressure, that feeling of falling behind, can lead to financial stress anxiety and even impact mental well-being.
It makes planning for the future feel impossible. How can you save for a house or even just a rainy day when your money is losing value faster than you can earn it?
You raise a critical point. Inflation can significantly impact savings. Let's say you've got £1,000 tucked away in a low-interest account. If inflation is at 5%, that £1,000 will have less buying power a year from now.
It's like a hidden tax on our savings, eating away at their value over time. But hold on, you mentioned earlier that inflation can benefit borrowers. How does that work?
Good catch. It's about fixed rate loans. If you have one, inflation actually makes it easier to pay it back. Your income might be rising to keep up with inflation, but the debt amount stays the same and its real value decreases.
So my salary might be higher, but that mortgage payment feels smaller because inflation is eroding the value of what I owe.
Exactly. Of course, that's assuming your wages are keeping pace with inflation, and it encourages borrowing, which can be risky if not managed responsibly.
It's a reminder that inflation has winners and losers, and it's not just about individual finances. There are broader societal implications, too.
Right, absolutely. High and volatile inflation can erode trust in institutions, leading to social unrest and instability. It impacts everything from consumer confidence to investment decisions.
It's fascinating and a bit alarming to see how these seemingly abstract economic concepts have such a tangible impact on our lives.
It really underscores how interconnected everything is. Understanding inflation helps us navigate not just our personal finances, but also the complexities of the world around us.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener. Thank you for taking us through the intricacies of inflation and breaking down what it means for us.
It's been my pleasure. Remember, economics isn't just about numbers. It's about people, choices, and understanding the forces shaping our world.
And on that note, we wrap up our deep dive into inflation. We hope you found it insightful and maybe even a little bit empowering. Until next time, stay curious.